Welcome to the Farmer's Fresh Hour on KVON, 1440 AM radio.
This
is the St. Helena Farmer's Market coming at you from KVON, thanks to American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. Joining me this morning for the St. Helena Farmer's Market are four fantastic guests, new vendors, and returning people from
nutrition, biology,
our fabulous list of vendors. First, we have Karen McHugh, founder and owner of Pacific Kid, one of our new vendors at the market. Super thrilled to welcome her and to the market and to the radio show to speak about her educational 3D felt products that we are now lucky to have at the market. Next up, we'll hear from Casey Cates from Gates & Associates, a land planning and landscape architecture firm based in San Ramon and working with the city of St. Helena on some exciting potential outdoor renovations for the city streets, which we're really excited about. And they were at the market last week. Super fun interactive process that they had going on. And then to close out with a spicy finish, Tatsa and Cole Campy from Salt Seasonings, also one of our new exciting vendors at the St. Helena Farmers Market. They create some delicious salt rubs and seasonings for a wide variety of applications, including a salt rub that includes wine. So we're really excited to have our guests with us this morning. Our market is based in Crane Park in St. Helena. We're open every Friday, May through October, 7:30 to 12. Our market provides some exceptional seasonal products from local farms and growers, as well as a wide variety of prepared foods and artisanal goods. Super privileged to hold a 501c3 nonprofit status, which allows us also to focus on a variety of community and educational programs, which we're super happy to share with the community. We're proud to say this is our 33rd season at Crane Park, and we hope all of today's listeners have a chance to visit us at the market. So we're going to start off today with our first guest, Karen McHugh, who's founder and owner of Pacific Kid. Like I said, a new vendor for us, and we're really excited to have her and to have her talk a little bit about her new her products that we have at the market. So welcome, Karen, and thank you so much for joining us. Tell us a little bit about your portfolio of products that you offer from Pacific Kid. I noticed last week, as it was her first time there, that it was instantly popular with the wagon and stroller crowd. I had several kids with felt packs that were already like hands-on and interacting with them.
Well, thank you so much. And not only did I have a beautiful ride to the market last Friday, it was a great couple of hours for me there. Just to introduce Pacific Kid, we have a line of educational felt products. They include felt sets, soft books, interactive play walls. We are all about the Velcro that is attached to the back of every piece and the stitch work on each piece that makes them tactile and very finger-friendly for little ones. So we have very popular ones that are very popular at the market that go along with popular storybooks, like the Three Pigs and
Lots
Your Mama
stuff.
Llama.
Yes.
And then we also have sets that are pieces with name tags. So for the little older child, they can start doing some letter and word recognition and do a matching game along with the felt sets.
And it's fun because they're all very, unlike traditional sort of just single non-3D felt boards. They are very, they're poofy. There's like faces on all the animals. So they are very, tactile and interactive for the kids.
Yeah, we like to think of ourselves as sort of the modern version of the traditional felt boards, mm-hmm. where it's not just flat digital print pieces on top of felt. We have the hook and loop system, which the hook would be the Velcro and the loop would be the tricot background.
Right.
So even a little young child, they just like the sound of the Velcro, putting it on and off of the background. So there's such a range of ages for our our products.
Yeah.
I like to tell people, say, oh, what age, you know, and it's always like, I say 0 to 99.
Yeah.
Because I have fun with them. And
you do. It's super fun. You can just totally take the cow and you can put him, you know, somewhere where he doesn't belong. And then it's kind of fun. You get to tell a whole story about that.
Correct.
My older daughter would make a whole scene and then the younger one would come through and just Godzilla the entire
right, come
bit,
on.
And just tear it all apart. That would be the game.
So did you come from an educational background? I mean, kind of wondering what inspired you. I mean, these are obviously very educational pieces, but I'm just wondering how that
So my background, I was a little bit more in the corporate world. I went to UC Santa Barbara, and I studied political science, and so I worked in law firms as a paralegal for many years.
So very educational.
My husband is from Oakland, and both of his parents were in the Oakland public school system as teachers, and
gotcha.
His siblings are all teachers, so it's definitely part of our life and our world. So we were inspired to make these sets. We started out just wanting to have a small business, and do something for children. And once we started researching, we ended up just starting to make some felt sets. And, what inspired us, we started going to preschool conferences and then we segued into working more with special education.
Yeah.
There was one gal that was at a preschool market in Oakland, and she was a speech and language pathologist. So she came up to my table and she was like, oh my God, I was going to make all of this stuff.
Yeah, no, I have
here
a,
it is.
Yeah.
I'll take this, yeah. this, and this.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine who is a speech pathologist and all that hands-on for especially for kids who have no language, super important.
Yes,
amazing.
It brings them out of their shell.
Yeah, yeah.
We have
yeah,
speech and language pathologists
about that last
when we
week.
Go to conferences come up and hug us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exaggerating. Saying I had a complete nonverbal child, and he looked at the play wall, you know, for days, if not weeks, and finally reached out and grabbed a piece, and we got some words out of it.
Yeah, because some of these products are books, and then you guys have like the whole just the hook set, the felt that you can just make your own storyboard
yes.
with, and whatever you can stick on
Absolutely.
There, and that makes a really big thing for kids with no language. So when did you guys found the company, and what's the progress of the of,
so we've
of
been
the
in
development.
Business for about 10 years, mm-hmm. and I'm also a mom. I have 3 daughters, so I've been a very busy mom and still am, even with 3 big daughters. And so it's just been a lot of fun. And we've just been kind of going in different directions over the years. And now we primarily go to large educational conference for mm-hmm. special education.
Okay.
So it was super fun. Over December, I thought I'm going to try the couple farmers markets to see how it goes, and signed up for NAPA, and they let me in, and it was totally successful. So
mm-hmm.
now I'm really excited to add St. Helena's
gotcha.
Farmers Market to our schedule.
So it's kind of on my next question as far mm-hmm. as, like, you know, when you started, you know, with the sort of the direct to consumer, as we like to say, just that, you know, farmers market community, and I'm just curious how you found that, in that the kids are coming straight to you in the booth, and
yes.
you know, how that's been.
It's been great. I mean, we have the young grandmas and the aunties that are, you know, babysitting their little kids and or their grandkids
right.
or they have nieces and nephews, and they're just so excited to buy them something traditional and different. And I've had many people come to me and say this is exactly what we were looking for at the farmers market.
Yeah, super fun because, well, I mean, obviously, you're kind of like the supermarket aisle with the candy. You're like right there. Ooh, isn't that cool? Like the kids are going to be like, hey, stop.
Yes, it's super colorful. Super colorful
yeah.
pieces, too. And like
yeah.
the raised stitchwork and the detail on the farmer with his raised little buttons and
yeah.
his little eyes. And so it's so it's
yeah.
so tactile and stimulating and sensory.
Yeah.
And everybody's interested
yeah.
in something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
No, it's true. Like, I want to play with
it. I know.
I brought one.
Ooh, that's so fun.
Like, I brought one.
So
yes.
we ended up getting her Karen's planet set for my 4-year-old and 2-year-old nephews.
Oh, good.
They're just in that stage where they're so into planets.
Yeah.
And I saw that and I was like, I got to get this. So it's really, really cool.
There's something for everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
and it's really good to work on with respect to education and the educational value, you know, prepositions and being able to move all the pieces around the board and put it behind the tree and in front of the tree mm-hmm. and –
Yeah. So have you been working with the special education community as far as, you know, developments or kind of, I mean, obviously the products are very They're very relevant for that community. But have you guys been working on any particular projects with anybody in the special education community?
Well, we work with a lot of school districts, like Compton Unified, and low income districts where our pieces just add perfectly along with their curriculum to help enhance and engage the children.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, it is really, I imagine that it's there's some fabulous stuff that kids can express with your sets. So anything new and exciting coming up on the horizon that our audience should know about?
Yes. So and speaking of Express, we have a great play pad, we call it, that's you can hang on the wall or play with on the floor, and it's called Express Yourself. And it has all the, it's different expressions and are you happy? Are you sad? So that's a really popular product. You should come check it out. And yes, we're always asking the speech and language pathologists. We get their feedback. What do they want to use? What stories do they use? Like Chicka Chicka Boom Boom.
Right.
I'm recently working on designing. There's a new book that Chelsea Clinton wrote that's Endangered Species. So I'm in the 12 most endangered species animals around the globe. So I already have a lot of them, but I have to add a few of them. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about that.
Oh, that's super great.
Yes. The kids and then really some season sets early. We want to make for the fall and for the winter. So we're working on that. Those are the three primarily new.
Yay!
Sets that we're
well, hopefully, we'll invite you to join the kids' educational booth at the market, and we'll interact a little bit there over the season. So, are you going to be at the market every week, or is it an alternating schedule for the St. Helena Farmers Market?
Yes. So, for St. Helena's, I'm signed up for every other week right now. Okay. So, I will be there this Friday, and then it'll be every other Friday, but. If it goes great, then I will inquire and see if I can come more often. So at this point, it's every other Friday starting this Friday.
Okay, so kids, mark that on your calendars, everybody.
Come and play.
Just start bugging your parents about stopping by at Pacific Kid.
Yes.
Okay, so then other than at the market, where can people find your products?
www.pacifickid.net.
Fantastic.
We're online. All of our products are online. You could always contact me directly. I'm super happy to work with anybody that are interested in our products, answer any questions you might have, and come by the market and play. I have lots of samples out, and I love to just watch the little kids and parents come out and play and get their hands on our products.
Fantastic. So all of our vendors' information is available on our website. So she is there. If you didn't catch it, you can go to our St. Helena Farmers Market website and click on Pacific Kid, and it will bring you to her website, and you can contact her from there. So thank you so much, Karen. We're super excited to have you at the market.
Thanks.
And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back in a few minutes.
What's happening, Napa Valley?
Today at Napa Sports Steakhouse and Sports Lounge, it's happy hour. Happy hour happens Monday through Friday. Drink and food specials from 3 until 10 p.m. Later tonight, it's Latin night with DJ Willie playing the best Latin tunes from 9:30 until 1 a.m. Cover charge is $5 after 10 p.m. It's free before 10. Friday at Napa Sports Steakhouse and Sports Lounge, it's Fish and Chip Friday. Starts at 5 p.m. while supplies last. Locally caught rock cod for juicy and flaky fish and chips. At Downtown Joe's, check out Hoppy Hour. It's 4 until 7 p.m. That's Monday through Friday. Lucky Penny Productions has Rapture Blister Burn. Check the listings for today and through the weekend. Friday, Tusk, the world's number one tribute to Fleetwood Mac at the Uptown Theater in Napa. On Saturday, May 18th, Napa High School Instrumental Music presents For the Love of Music at Skyline Wilderness Park in Napa. On Wednesday, May 22nd, Olay Health South Campus Grand Opening Celebration happens, and Julie will be broadcasting live 3 to 5 p.m. at the South Napa Century Center in Napa.
That's what's happening, Napa Valley. Updated every hour, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. For more information, click on What's Happening at 993thevine.com.
Hi, this is Barry Martin, back from vacation and live on KVON, mornings from 6 to 9. Join me on the Friday show. We'll catch up on all the news, keep you on top of weather for the weekend ahead. sports, traffic info, whatever you need. Farmers Market news, too, plus our book talk show with Elena from the Napa Book Mine. Julie's got the events calendar, and we'll learn about Napa High School's instrumental music program fundraiser. All that's happening on the Friday Wine Country Live right here.
Need physical therapy? Contact Napa Valley Physical Therapy Center. Bruce McCall and his partner, Rob Brandon, are available to assist you in evaluating and treating any injury from any sport or work-related problems for any age. So if an injury occurs or a physical problem exists, contact Napa Valley Physical Therapy Center with a tradition of quality care and clinical excellence since 1952. Located at 433 Soskal Avenue in the Gasser Building, Napa Valley Physical Therapy.
Welcome back to the Farmer's Fresh Hour with the St. Helena Farmer's Market. I'm your host, Arwen Gallenkamp, and joining me today are some fabulous guests. We just heard from Karen McHugh, founder and owner of Pacific Kid. Next up is Casey Case from Gates & Associates, a land planning and landscape architectural firm. And then we'll hear from Satsa and Cole Campy from Salt Seasonings to finish off our hour. So I am really happy to introduce our second guest, Casey Cates from Gates & Associates, as I said, an architectural and land planning company who's working with the City of St. Helena on some exciting new projects. They were at the farmers market last Friday and had an amazing display of plans that was interactive, and they were soliciting responses from the community, a really great interactive process that was happening. And so I was really intrigued, and I invited Casey to be on the show to speak about what you're doing with the City of St. Helena, kind of what the process is, if you've done this in other locations, and kind of, you know, just tell me a little bit about what this project is.
All right. So our project that we're working on right now, we've designated as Cultivate St. Helena. So we're doing a design concept for downtown Main Street, and the city obtained a grant in order to do some transportation and roadway improvements. So we're looking at what ultimately is the design we would like to see that would improve downtown St. Helena. So the efforts that we're doing at the farmers market is we've taken some of our concepts, our designs that we think would improve what's happening in downtown St. Helena, and we've put them up on these graphic boards so that we get a chance to actually show people graphically what we're thinking about. Yeah. And hear what do you think is worthwhile, what's not. So we have all these ideas that we throw out. So then what you interact with when you're with us at the farmers market is a question. So we'll show a concept and we'll be like, there's an option A and there's an option B. So for example, down at one end of Main Street, St. Helena, there's an idea to take a bunch of the red curb parking or non-parking zones and extend it out so it becomes this enhanced parkway strip where we can include some art elements. So we designated it this art walk. And it's easy for us to consume this red curb space. But then our question was, we could take away 5 of these parking stalls and move it down even further. Would you want to do that? Would you not? And right. So when somebody comes into our booth at the farmers market, they see the graphic of the art walk. They see a rendering we may have done that's, you know, a photo simulation of what that could look like. Then they see some images of other places it's been done. So people are handed a little sticker circle. And if they're voting yes or no on something, they put the sticker on the yes or the no. Or sometimes we're asking them a question where we're looking for their preference. So they'll put a sticker on the image that they prefer. Right. So it's this nice thing where we're there, we're available to explain things and answer mm-hmm. questions. But frankly, if you're just walking through our booth, it's fairly self-explanatory, and I'm kind of thinking of the Pacific Kid. It's tactile.
Right, it is very tactile.
You get a sticker, and there's colors, and you get to look at things. And people can also do it at their own speed, which is really valuable to us, because occasionally we do a lot of this information and discussion in city council meetings or planning commission meetings, and it's a similar discussion, but the interaction with people is really different, because everybody's willing to go to a formal commission meeting and submit a speaker card and talk into the microphone. Right. You know, it can be really intimidating. Right. So we found that aligning ourselves with the events that are already happening within the communities that we're doing the design for, allows us to get this really genuine feedback. And it's from people who use this area and who are engaging with it all the time. So we can come in as designers and give our suggestions, of course, and I know St. Helena pretty well, but the people who are down there every single day and really using it are the ones who really should be weighing in on what we do and what we don't.
Right, right. Yeah, that's it was just super fun. I mean, just to watch people, you know, and talking with you and the interaction that was happening and just the visuals of seeing renderings of the potential options for each different area. Super great. So the other thing that that I love is that Gates and Associates is dedicated to getting people outside, which of course is very important to the St. Helena Farmers Market. And I really feel like that should be the goal of so many organizations. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited that you guys are engaged with the city of St. Helena. And the fact that your design starts with a seed and ignites it into a place of interesting ideas that, especially for me as the market educator right now, I'm talking about seeds of change and kind of what, you know, ideas and things and actual seeds that are relevant right now at this time. So I'd love you to kind of expand on some of those concepts as how it relates to Gates and to your project and just a little bit about, you know, kind of what that looks like for this project that you're working on with the City of St. Helena.
I think the metaphor of growing a seed is really applicable not only to this project but also to what we do, because it's about coming up with an idea. So it's that little germ of an idea and what can we do with it, and then cultivating it in the way that we're getting input, we're seeking thoughts, we're trying to make something that's reasonable and feasible and doable and a valuable improvement. And so it's taking the time to invest in what those concepts are and flesh out what's the most applicable and impactful in an area. And frankly, I believe that that's what we do in all of our projects, because we do have this ultimate goal to get people outside, which sounds so obvious, right? But really, right. It's not exactly how we behave or how mm-hmm. we live our lives. So it's really fun for us to come in as landscape architects and be this member of a team who are thinking about how do people use spaces when they're not necessarily in a car or in a building? And how do they interact with the world around them? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, I think it's funny, because when I tell people I'm a landscape architect, they're like, oh, so you're like working with plants in the ground and stuff all the time. And I'm like, well, actually,
yeah, no.
We spend a lot of time like doing design on a computer, thinking about, right. about how people interact with space. And so in our goal to get people outside, we're starting with that seed, that germ, that motivation of how will people experience this space?
Right.
And then the design grows from that, because then it's what programming elements are we trying to include, or what are the most common users, or what is our goal for this space? Like, how do we want people to interact with it? Do we want it to be a corridor and a connection from one place to the next? Do we want it to be a plaza where people linger and engage? Is it an emphasis on education? Is it an emphasis on social interaction? What's driving the concepts that's going to really generate activating this space? So when we're looking at downtown St. Helena, a lot of our feedback that we got initially, so before we even threw concepts up, we were like, hey, we're doing this project. What do you think? You know, a little more open-ended. And it was just reacting to some big ideas. And in that process, the three primary things that we heard as a priority were expanding pedestrian areas. So I was like, ding, ding, get people outside. Mm-hmm. Yay.
Right. Yay.
yes. Success. Create sense of place through art, historic character, and agrarian references. So people really like the feel of being in wine country, but they wanted to be distinct from other stops along Highway 29. Mm-hmm. And they didn't want to just be the typical wine country with a bushel of grapes kind of thing. Like, they mm-hmm. wanted to be something unique. And then ultimately it was expand the downtown core. So help make the downtown Main Street successful.
Right.
Help us keep tenants there. Help us sustain the 7 days a week people who really live in this town community, but also, you know, accommodate the occasional tourist, but keep in mind that balance of who's primarily using the space.
Yeah.
So yeah. That process led us there, and it ultimately grew into these concepts that are in front of us now.
Well, obviously, you guys think a lot about this stuff.
We do.
So now, you come from a background, you're an arborist yourself.
Right.
Right? So I'm just curious how, do you then, from that background, obviously, have a special spot in your heart for the trees?
Yes.
And how that works as far as your team goes, do each of you come with a specific specialty that you bring to the mix?
Yeah. So we, in our company, we typically have a handful of people working on every project, if not more, right? Because we're a staff of 35, but we like to think that there's a one main person, then their support, and then it trickles out from there. So sometimes it's kind of all of us getting involved. This is one of those projects because we're all excited about it, and everybody has ideas and wants to contribute things. So we'll have a project manager, which is my role on this project. So I'm doing a lot of the coordination. I understand a lot of the impacts and things that are going on. And then depending on what specific issues we might encounter, opportunities or challenges, we might bring in some specialties. So my arborist stuff was applicable here because the street trees had caused a lot of issues. Part of what generated this project...
wrong ones planted.
Yeah, exactly. Was the upheaval of the sidewalk and these trip hazards. And so that remained a huge priority for the city.
Right.
So we initially, before we'd even gotten into the bones of this project, knew that trees were going to be a conversation. Mm-hmm. And we still haven't decided 100% what that solution will be because we're still flushing out these priorities. But it is something that we knew we would want to pay attention to.
Yeah.
As far as in general, my passion, I do have this soft spot for trees. And it's funny because in the world of landscape architecture, there's such extremes, right?
Right.
So Gates & Associates was actually founded by Linda and David Gates, who, full disclosure, are my parents. So 40 years ago, they founded the company. So ever since, my influential childhood years, I've been around this field of landscape architecture. And so for my father, it's very much this urban design interaction with a plaza, more paved setting. And then for me, I gravitated towards this horticultural, the plant aspect of it.
Right.
And so the combination of those kind of personalities is a lot of what you'll see in our company. So it's people who have these different areas of emphasis. So whether it's, a little more programmed hardscape design versus us, we're really into native and plants and soft. And so ultimately, I think that we're super successful because we have that blend of the two.
Yeah.
Which is also nice, that blend of the two generations between, the original founders of Gates, and now it's transitioning into the second generation. So we've got this wonderful culmination of the new to the industry, up with technology, very ambitious, with the also really seasoned, knows the challenges, knows what works and what doesn't. And so we're really dynamic in that sense.
Well, I'm excited to see what happens with this project. So tell me a little bit about what we can expect in kind of what the rollout looks like and what we can expect in the next couple of years with this project in the city of San Leo.
So we've done several of these outreach options, which is what led us to these concepts. So from here, we have one more rollout of an online survey, which I can direct anybody to. You can get there from the City of St. Helena website, and you can also get there at cultivateSt.Helena.com. So it's an online interactive survey, which is as similar as we could get it to the boards we had in the farmers market, just knowing that there's always this kind of translating it to a digital format.
Yeah.
So as best we could. So we'll complete that final round of our outreach for this concept stage. And then we will take those concept plans to the Planning Commission on June 4th. So anyone's welcome to come and provide comments there as well. And from there, we go the following week to City Council. We'll review it there as well. Now, at the same time, we're starting to hone in a little more specifically with the engineers. So BKF Engineering is actually the prime on this project. So we're going to start making stuff real, putting it into construction drawings, looking at it with some cost estimating glasses so we can figure out how we're going to phase things, what our priorities may be.
Right.
And then BKF Engineering is going to take it to submission with Caltrans because this is a state highway.
Got it.
So there are a lot of rules and regulations that need to happen, and they're specialized in coordinating all those efforts.
Right.
So we're taking a lot of the touchy-feely pretty stuff and making it real, stuff that's actually going to happen and how are they going to build
Caltrans.
Yeah, so that process takes takes some time. It's it's a pretty close review system, and there's a lot of things we need to do to meet requirements.
Right.
So likely you'll start to see some construction and building in 2020.
Right.
And throughout the whole planning process, we're going to make sure that everything we're doing has the minimalist as possible impact on all the shop owners and the visitors and people using the downtown, because we realize that that's important. It has to be usable and accessible during this construction phase.
Right. But then it'll be
the
even
goal.
More usable
exactly.
and accessible later.
Right.
Well, we're super excited. I can't wait to see kind of how this rolls out. And I know you guys are on a super great path just from watching the interaction from last week at the market. So
great.
Thank you so much for joining us. Super great to hear from you. And we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back to hear from another fabulous vendor of ours at the market.
Can the Golden State Warriors become the first team in 53 years to reach 5 consecutive NBA finals? This is a sports report with Ira C. Smith. And we'll find out more about the answer to that question after tonight as the NBA Western Conference Finals continue. Portland Trailblazers back at Oakland at the Oracle Arena, where the Warriors lead in that best-of-seven series 1-0. Then tomorrow night will be game number 4 in the Western Conference Stanley Cup playoffs, the San Jose Sharks back at St. Louis. And looking at hockey tonight, it's the East Finals Game 4. The Boston Bruins are playing at Carolina, leading in that series 3-0. Also in hockey, the World Championships are going on. France goes against Canada, Denmark against Finland today. And in soccer, it's a women's U.S. international friendly against New Zealand. And that's being played in New Jersey. It's the second of 3 friendlies prior to the Women's Soccer World Cup coming up next month in France. In a softball game that we broadcast on KVON, it was Division I North Coast Section opening round play, and Napa High defeated Clayton Valley Charter of Concord 23-13. Napa scored 8 times in the bottom of the first and 9 times then in the bottom of the third inning. Haley Jarita had 5 hits, including 2 doubles with 5 runs batted in. Katie Newburn, the freshman catcher, had a 3-run home run, a single, and was walked 3 times, including an intentional walk. Next competition for Napa is against the number 1 team in the North Coast section, Foothill of Pleasanton, also ranked number 3 in the entire state, and they have yet to lose. In Division 4 in the softball playoffs, it was St. Mary's eliminating Justin Sienna of Napa 19-8, the final there. Then speaking of softball, American Canyon's senior Lisa Bolton was named the Player of the Year in the league. Napa High senior Kimmy Walston was Pitcher of the Year, and Napa High freshman catcher Katie Newborn, the Offensive Player of the Year. In baseball, American Canyon sophomore Tyree Reed was the League Player of the Year, Vintage Senior Pitcher Eli Wood, Pitcher of the Year, and on that All-League First Team, Justin Sienna Senior, Luigi Albano Dito, Napa High Junior, Trent Mayer, American Canyon Sophomore, Jordan Fisher, and Vintage Sophomore, Davide Magoto. And in golf, Vintage High Sophomore, Jacob Aaron was low medalist at the North Coast Section Division I Boys Championship. He was 1 under par at Monarch Bay Golf Club in San Leandro. So he will advance to the Northern California Championships on Monday, May the 20th in Yolo County. As a team, Vintage finished 7th. Only 3 teams advanced to the NorCal.
Community Grapevine.
Are you looking for ways to get involved in saving the world? Get to learn more about the Hero Foundation, one of Napa Valley's newest nonprofit charity organizations. From charity concerts, marches, clothing drives, and fundraising events of all sorts, our team at HF works to make the world a better place. Visit our website, theherofoundationus.org, to get connected with us and volunteer. Together, we can save the world. Happy spring, everyone. The Hero Foundation. Be a hero.
The voice of the North Bay, News, talk, and sports.
KVON, Napa.
Welcome back to the Farmers Fresh Hour here with St. Helena Farmers Market. I'm your host, Arwen Gallenkamp, from the, I'm the market educator at the St. Helena Farmers Market. I've got four fantastic guests today. We heard from Karen McHugh from Pacific Kid and just from Casey Cates from Gates & Associates, a land planning landscape architecture firm. And last but definitely not least, we have Tsatsa and Cole Campy, formers of Salt Seasonings, who are a new vendor with us at the market. We're super excited to welcome them. They just joined this year, new company, and I've used some of their products already. Delicious and fabulous. So, Tsatsa and Cole, you guys just started your company in 2018, right?
Yes. Yep. July of 2018.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came about. I mean, not yourselves, but your company. We can talk about that other stuff another time, not on the radio.
Thanks, Arwen. So I can talk a little bit about myself. I grew up in the East Bay. I've always been influenced by my parents. They've been great barbecues, cooks, chefs, everything of that sort. So it's definitely where I found my love for cooking, recipes, ingredients, spices, everything of that sort. It kind of came about. I learned and taught myself some recipes. I would never follow the recipes exact. I would always add some stuff, remove some things I didn't like, make it a little spicier, however. So we talked about it for long enough and figured, why don't we just package these and sell them and master that? So that's kind of how that came about.
So really happy to be here, Arvin. Thank you for having us. My name is Tsatsa. I originally came from Mongolia 2004. So grew up in Oakland. That's where I met Cole as well. So when we first started dating, we would always cook in and sort of not eat out. And so I think we always had a date night every night because we're always cooking delicious food.
Date night every night. That's
yeah.
great.
And so we sort of talked about it, and Cole loves cooking. And so I wanted to sort of encourage him and support him in his dreams. And so we decided to create a seasoning company, and that's sort of where we are. After about 3 or 4 months of planning from March of last year, we launched our company at the first public sale on July 7th, 2018.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. And you guys have such a well-formed concept and all your marketing material and everything. So you've done an amazing job, seeing as you started last year.
Thank you.
Very impressive. And like I said, I've used a few of your products, and I got a little sample bag last week, so I was really excited. So I got to try some out, and it's a really fantastic and wonderful selection of different seasoning, some with sugar, some without, and just a really wide variety of spices. Mm-hmm. So what did you guys kind of, what was your core group? What did you start with? Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit about how you decided upon those.
Sure. Yeah, we started with six original blends: chicken licking, golden steak, Mongol, sweet chipotle, taco de town, and vintage vino. And originally they all contained Mongolian rock salt. So we decided to use Mongolian rock salt because I was from Mongolia and we wanted to bring something from home, and also that wasn't on the U.S. market. And so I think my background in startups really helped. I was part of two startups for the past 4 years. So it's sort of figuring out, like, what would make us different, because we understood that there were a lot of seasoning companies out there. And so we wanted to find an ingredient that was different and new to a lot of the people here. And so we decided on Mongolian rock salt. And my mom actually, you know, happens to live in Mongolia, so she was able to.
Happens.
Yeah, so she lives in Mongolia. So she was able to, you know, buy a salt and ship it to us in small quantities, and that's sort of how we started.
She's your direct importer. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So tell me, just tell me about the difference between Mongolian salt and what maybe more people mm-hmm. are familiar with, which is Himalayan salt. So there's just, I mean, that just has been more marketed, so I'm mm-hmm. just curious kind of what the difference is.
Yeah, so it's similar to Himalayan pink salt in regards to the qualities of it. So it's rock salt. It's non-processed, all organic, got the minerals that is good for human body.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as pink as the Himalayan pink salt. It's
right.
got some pink hue to it. And I think it's just the reason why it hasn't been explored in the U.S. is that there hasn't been like someone doing it or bringing it to the U.S. market. So
right.
I think we're happy to be the first ones to sort of
Yay.
Bring that concept and bring that salt over.
Yeah.
In small quantities at the moment. So I think that was good for us in terms of starting off our product with that in mind, and so that it was a sort of a nice different marketing angle for us to like make us a little bit different.
Yeah, for sure. And what is it? Is it the mineral content in it that gives the salts their colors?
I believe so.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic. Okay, so you guys, and also, like I said earlier, you have a fantastic marketing plan. So you have a great website, saltseasonings.com, which has recipes and other, and obviously a listing of your products. So mm-hmm. You guys are selling it at the farmer's market and online. Are there other outlets for where people might be able to buy your products?
Yes. So currently we're in about 12 different locations in East Bay and also Napa Valley. So in this part of the town, we're at Oakville Grocery Store, Prisoner Wine Company, Rutherford Ranch Winery, and also in talks with several other stores like Sunshine, Napa Stock, and plus the Napa and Centralina Farmers Market. But if you're in East Bay, we're at Piedmont Grocery, we're at Dabla Foods in Walnut Creek, Lafayette, Ace Hardware, Berkeley Bowl. Those are our locations.
Okay.
And we're at Harris Ranch
awesome.
In Central California.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you guys have a fantastic start on, well, like you're hitting the ground running for all the locations that you are at. So, I was actually kind of curious. I used your Mongol seasoning this morning for roasting up some cauliflower for my daughter's lunch. And I was curious because I tasted it, and it's very similar to like an Herbes de Provence. And so I'm just wondering if this is a seasoning mix that is actually kind of a Mongolian-based, or is it just kind of a hybrid mix?
So Mongol is definitely a little bit of a hybrid mix. When we get the salt shipped to us, we actually get we get some little packets of an herb that comes straight from Mongolia called Gund. So when I was formulating Mongol, I really wanted to use that. We couldn't get enough of that in quantity to really bring out the taste. So
right.
I kind of formulated a bunch of different herbs. Two of the main kind of characteristics of Gund is a little bit of fennel smell and taste
mm-hmm.
and mint.
Gotcha.
So that was a little bit of that. There's
right.
plenty of fennel in there.
Right.
Everyone or either love or dislike that black licorice fennel taste. I found out through
right.
farmers
that
markets.
Or coconut. Yes
I,
or no.
I love it, but
right.
and then just mix it with a bunch of other different herbs from basil, marjoram, thyme.
Yeah.
It's just a big herb bomb, so it's inspired by Mongolian dumplings, definitely, and we're finding all sorts of new applications for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, I can, I'll give you some more, applications for it. all super great stuff. So, you know, you guys have so many different flavors. Are there any particular tips as far as, you know, for grilling or for other, for other applications like that you would, like to share with our audience today?
Yeah, our biggest tip is to be, don't be afraid to get creative with all of them. We have seasonings called Golden Steak. It's not primarily for steak. A lot of people at farmers markets actually say they put that on fish. We have Chicken Lickin'. It, as the name states, it should be chicken, but it's kind of like a hot Italian seasoning, so it goes great with pastas. You can even sprinkle that on popcorn. With sweet chipotle, we also love that on popcorn. We've done it on pizza
Ooh.
Crust that we make.
Yum.
We can make
yes.
all.
I can attest.
Good.
Quick, make some popcorn.
Sweet chipotle shrimp. Fettuccine last night.
Yeah, so we're always using our stuff, and you can make salad dressings with it by just mixing it with olive oil. You can marinate with our blends. The possibilities are really endless.
That's super great. So exciting. So in that you are a brand new company, and you're celebrating your first anniversary in July. Can you get quick lessons as far as starting a new company?
Yeah, so I think in addition to everything that we had to do, we had to learn everything that we do is actually made in-house. So we're cottage food operators. That just means we hand mix, package, label, ship, design, everything in-house, just the two of us.
You're right.
I think, you know, in addition to inventory management, margin analysis, marketing and sales, and everything else we had to learn, I think the best lesson we learned was to how to work together as a team. And
right.
So I think we, when it comes to design, we have different opinions, but mm-hmm. I think when we put our opinions together and find a middle ground that we're both happy with, we do come up with great solutions. So sort of what you see today is a progression of a lot of changes, iterations to the design, also to the mixes, et cetera, over the last year. So it's always evolving. It's always changing. We're always creating and always learning.
Well, that sounds like a recipe for success, if you ask me. So we are so excited to have you guys at the market and seeing people stopping by and buying some meat from our new vendor or Long Meadow Ranch or Stemple Creek and then heading over to you guys to get some rubs to, you know, put it on there and grill it or roast it or anyway. So it's a really great synergy that we're just seeing even in the first few days on the market. So another great year, and we're excited to have our new vendors and to have you guys there and to have the selection of different options for our shoppers at the market. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Yeah,
we're
excited.
Thank
you so much.
Yay. Okay, so I was going to take a quick commercial break, but I'm actually not because we're almost out of time. So thank you guys so much for joining us at KVON's 1440 AM Farmers Fresh Hour. We have been really excited to bring our guests to you today. We hope you'll join us at the St. Helena Farmers Market in Crane Park tomorrow, 7:30 to 12 p.m. We have a lot of things happening tomorrow. We'll have Be Here Farms. We'll have Aereo Ranch and our knife sharpening van will be there. And we have another new vendor, A&B Provisions. Can't come up with a cuter name than that for a bee and honey provider, A&B Provisions. Love it. So May 24th, bring your dull knives because we are going to have a knife sharpening workshop brought to you from our knife sharpening vendors and brought to you also by Louis Martini, who is our sponsor for our lecture series. So we will have an interactive knife sharpening workshop. Dominique Sweets will also be at the market on May 24th. So if you need a fruit pie, some other special treats, definitely come and enjoy that. And then we will have a new vendor also, Nevy Brothers Flowers from Petaluma, who bring a beautiful selection of different homegrown flowers straight from their farm in Petaluma. So lots of exciting things happening this season, and we will hope that you will be able to join us. And thank you again so much for KVON, for having us, for the Farmers Fresh Hour, and for Ag Credit Money for Agriculture for sponsoring this fantastic show. Thank you guys
thank
so
you.
Much.
Thank you for having
you.
Us.
Brighten your day the Napa Electric way. How about making your home, office, or business brighter, fresher, and more attractive and easier on the eyes? Well, you can by just contacting Napa Electric, Napa's complete lighting showroom and ceiling fan center. Napa Electric even provides lighting design plans. Open 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. weekdays. Napa Electric's on Brown Street, just north of Lincoln. Get a daily electrical tip by going to either Facebook or Twitter. Brighten your day the Napa Electric way. The Napa High School softball bats were booming. This is a sports report with Ira C. Smith. Pounding out 17 hits but getting 23 runs to win in the opening round of Division I section playoffs. Defeating a team from Concord, Clayton Valley Charter, 23-13, the final score in that contest. Elsewhere, it was Justin Siena losing in Division 4 to St. Mary's 19-8. And in Division 2 North Coast Section, boys lacrosse, this also was in the playoffs, Justin Siena of Napa lost to Novato 13-6. In U.S.